The book of the prophet Isaiah and chapter 1. And you'll find that on page 686 of the Church Bibles. Isaiah chapter 1. The vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw during the reign of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear me, you heavens, listen, earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, but they rebelled against me. The ox knows its master, the donkey its owner's manger, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Woe to the sinful nation, a people whose guilt is great, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. They've forsaken the Lord, they've spurned the Holy One of Israel, and turned their backs on him. Why should you be beaten anymore? Why do you persist in rebellion? Your whole head is injured, your whole heart afflicted, from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. There is no soundness, only wounds and bruises and open sores, not clean, not cleansed, or bandaged, or soothed with oil. Your country is desolate, your cities burned with fire. Your fields are being stripped by foreigners right before you, laid waste as when overthrown by strangers. Daughter Zion is left like a shelter in a vineyard, like a hut in a cucumber field, like a city under siege. Unless the Lord Almighty had left us some survivors, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I've more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams, and the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations, I cannot bear your worthless assemblies. Your new moon feasts and your appointed festivals, I hate with all my being. They've become a burden to me. I'm weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I'm not listening. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they're red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. But if you resist and rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Well, may God bless to us that reading from his word. Let's join together in prayer. We're going to look this morning at some words we read from Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Or as some versions render that, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they're red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Suppose I were to tell you that I've had an invitation from the Queen to go to Buckingham Palace tomorrow morning to discuss some matters with her. Imagine the letter came yesterday morning, bearing the royal seal, saying there are some major issues which concern me, and I want to discuss them with you. Please come to the palace tomorrow morning as early as you can. I want to discuss certain things with you. You'd be amazed at that, wouldn't you? Fancy the Queen wanting to discuss anything with him. You'd be amazed. And so would I, totally amazed. But here's something a million times more amazing, that God Almighty invites you and me to have a discussion with him. That's what we're told here in Isaiah 1, verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Let's have a discussion. The Lord God Almighty, the maker of the whole universe, invites you and me to have a discussion with him. This man, Isaiah, was a prophet, a servant of the Lord, who preached the word to the land of Judah many, many years ago. We don't know a great deal about him. He was the son of Amos. He had some children with strange names. And he was used greatly by God to preach God's word to the land of Judah many, many years ago. But the people in Judah were rebellious. They had turned against God. And now God addresses them through Isaiah and says to them, come, come, let's settle the matter. Let's have a discussion. Let's sort this out. There are certain things I want to discuss with you. The first thing he wants us to discuss with him is our sin. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord, though your sin. That's the one thing he wants to discuss with us. Now, I wonder if you were invited to have a discussion with God, what would you put at the top of your list? There are many things we'd like to discuss with him, aren't there? Why is there all the trouble in the world? Why is all this injustice in the world? Why are these terrible things happening? Why do little children get murdered? Why do old people get mugged? Why is there famine in the world? Why are these dreadful fires? There are many things we want to discuss with God. They're all important things. But when God says, I want to have a discussion with you, the subject at the top of the list, as far as he's concerned, is our sin. Because our sin is probably the root cause of so many other troubles in the world. Now, when you have a discussion with God, when people have a discussion with God, and they realize the subject of sin, one of the first things they say in reply is, God, what do you mean? I'm not a sinner. When I first began as a pastor, about three Sundays after I'd begun, at the end of the evening service, the church secretary came storming down the aisle, very angry, and he said to me, you preach to us as though we were all sinners. I'm not a sinner. And that's the reaction of many people when they hear that the discussion is to be about sin. I'm not a sinner, they say. But you know God's reply to that? God replies this, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is no one who is righteous. There is no one who does good. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that's The first thing that God says as we discuss the subject of sin, all of us are sinful. There are no exceptions. Jesus himself said, there is no one who is good save God alone. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All right, you say? All right, so people say as they hear the subject about sin, I accept that I've sinned and broken God's law. But it doesn't really matter, does it? It's not really important, is it? It's not serious, is it? The fact that I've sinned doesn't really matter. That's a point that many people make in any discussion about a sin. First of all, they say, I'm not a sinner. But then when you point out from the Bible that they are sinners, the next point they make in this discussion with God is this, well, it doesn't really matter, does it? Not serious. But God says it is very serious indeed. Very serious indeed. He hates sin. He loathes sin. It's the thing which has spoilt this perfect world that he made. You see, if there were no sin in the world, if no one ever broke God's laws, this world would be perfect. If every man and woman and child obeyed God and obeyed God's laws, life would be wonderful. There'd be no carnage in Syria or the Yemen. There'd be no terrorist attacks in London or Paris or Belgium or anywhere else. There'd be no 9/11 in America. There'd be no drug addiction. No tyranny in North Korea. No old people being mugged. No young women being raped. No abandoned children living in rubbish tips. If every man and woman obeyed the Lord of God, this world would be absolutely perfect. But human sin, you see, is the root cause of all the problems in the world. The fact that we turned our backs upon the Lord God. So God hates that. God hates sin. He puts it like this in verse 6. He says, from the sole of your feet to the top of your head, there's no soundness there, only wounds and bruises and open sores, not cleansed or bandaged or soothed with oil. God says, sin in my sight is like a festering sore. Here's this person who's neglected himself and he's full of festering sores from top to bottom. Says God, sin is as horrible as that in my sight. It's the thing which has marred my universe. And the Bible says sin is serious in another way. It'll keep us out of heaven. God cannot, God will not allow sin into heaven. Heaven is a place of perfection. Heaven is a place where everything's perfect. God cannot, God dare not allow sinful people into heaven, because they'd soon turn it into hell. Sin is very, very serious. Indeed, the Bible says the sin is as serious as this. If it's not dealt with, it will land us up in a terrible place called hell. It will not only exclude us from heaven, but it will land us up in a terrible place called hell. So sin is very, very serious indeed. That says someone in this discussion about sin. Okay, I recognize I've sinned. Okay, I recognize, God, that my sin is serious. But never mind. I'll soon put things right. I'll soon put things right. I'll try my heart to live a better life. I'll become religious. I'll go to church more. I'll go to the temple more. Do my best to improve matters. I'll do as many good deeds as I think about. And all of that will atone for my sin. All of that will deal with my sin. But it doesn't, you know. The Bible says all our good deeds cannot make up for our sin. Imagine this. Imagine. I get caught for speeding, going home, going down the M4. I get nicked for speeding, doing 100 miles an hour. Imagine that. It's not true, of course. But imagine that happens. I get nicked for speeding 100 miles an hour going down the M4. So eventually I appear before the magistrates. And I say to him, look, I'm sorry, yes, I was doing 100 miles an hour. But never mind, I promise you from now on, I'll observe the speed limit. So let me go. Don't find me. Don't put any points on my license. I promise you, yes, I was doing 100 miles an hour, I'm sorry, but from now on, I'll keep the speed limit perfectly. The magistrate would say to me, very good, but that doesn't make up for the fact that you've broken the law. The fact that you're going to do better in the future doesn't atone for the past. And it's like that with Almighty God. We've sinned against him. And all the good deeds we do in the future cannot atone for the sins of the past. Okay, say some people, I'll be more religious. I recognize I've sinned, but from now on, I'll be more religious. Some people say I'll go to church more. Some people say I'll go to the mosque more. Some people say I'll go to the Hindu temple more. I'll be more religious. But God says, that's no good. That doesn't appeal to me at all. Listen to what God says in Isaiah 1. When you come to appear before me, who's asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? Stop bringing your meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. These new moons and Sabbaths and convocations, I cannot bear your worthless assemblies. Your new moon feasts and your appointed festivals, I hate with all my being. They become a burden to me. God is saying there, all this attempt to deal with your sin by being religious means nothing to me. I hate it. It can't deal with your sin. So in this discussion about God, he's chosen the subject, sin. Were you tempted to say, oh, I haven't sinned? God says, yes, you have. Were you tempted to say, oh, but God's sin is not very serious, is it? God says, yes, it is very serious indeed. It'll keep you out of heaven. We say, well, never mind, God, I'll do my best in the future. I'll do my good deeds. I'll become religious. God says, none of that. All of that cannot atone for your sins. So, this discussion about sin that God wants to have with us is very serious, isn't it? Very alarming, really. So what's the cure? Let's move on to the second thing that God wants to discuss with us. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. So God wants to talk to us about pardon, forgiveness for all of our sin. When we come to deal with the pardon for all our sin, we stop putting forward our point of view. It's such a wonderful subject. God is the expert here. We just keep quiet and ask our questions and listen to him. Have you ever been in a discussion like that? you had a discussion about some important subject, and you suddenly realized you were dealing with an expert. So you stopped putting your point of view. You knew this man you were talking to knew all there was to know about the subject. So you stopped giving your opinions, and you just contented yourself with asking questions of this expert. Bit like that, isn't it, when you go to see a specialist about an illness. He's the expert. He knows virtually everything there is to know about this illness. So you stop giving your opinion about the illness, apart from how painful it is, and you just ask him questions. How can it be dealt with? How long will it go on for? Will I get better? He's the expert. So you're just asking him the question. And it's like that with God when he wants to discuss pardon with us. First question to God. Lord, how can you pardon all my sin? If it's so awful, if it's in every person, if it's so dreadful, how can you, a holy God, pardon all my sin? Now that's a question which many wise people have asked down through life. There's a very famous man called Martin Luther. In about 1517, he was a Roman Catholic monk, but he was plagued with this sense of guilt. He tried to get rid of his sin. He got up early in the morning. He fasted, he hungered, he went without food. He went to St. Peter's in Rome, and he crawled up the steps of St. Peter's in Rome on his hands and knees until his knees were bleeding. The great question was this: God, how can you get rid of my sin? He found the answer. God gave him the answer one day as he was reading the letter to the Romans. God's answer to this question is, how can you deal with my sin as this? I can deal with your sin because of what Jesus Christ, my Son, did upon the cross. My Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, came into the world, says God, and he lived a perfect life. He never sinned, lived a perfect life. And at the end of 33 years living a perfect life, he went to the cross. He allowed people to put him to death upon a cross. And when he died there upon the cross, he actually bore the punishment of sin that was due to us. My sin deserves to be punished. God is a holy God. He cannot ignore my sin. He can't pretend he hasn't seen it. He can't turn a blind eye to it. He must punish sin. How then can God forgive me? Because his Son came into the world. God allowed his Son to come into the world and bear the punishment of sin in our place. So God is now able to say to us, though your sins are like scarlet, they can be washed away. They can be forgiven. They can be pardoned. So that's our first question. Here's our second question, to put to God as we discuss this matter of sin. How can I experience this forgiveness? How can I experience this pardon here and now? You said, God, though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. How can that happen to me here and now? You told me it can happen because Jesus Christ died upon the cross. How can it happen to me here and now? in 2018? The Bible gives the answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. In other words, turn to Him. Realize you've sinned. Turn to Him. Plead with Him for forgiveness. Trust in Him. Realize He's the one and only Savior. If we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, all our sin will be forgiven. All our sin will be cleansed away. How can it happen, God, here and now? God's answer is, believe on my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm willing to cleanse you immediately the moment you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this will happen immediately. But says someone with another question. Lord, I am a very bad sinner. I fear I'm too far gone. Is there hope for me? People don't know the things I've done wrong. People don't know the sins I've committed. They're enormous sins. God, is there any hope for me? And God says, wonderful statement, though your sins are like scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. Though they're as red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Our sins may be glaring, hideous, but they can be cleansed away by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's true, you know. In a few weeks' time, a couple of weeks' time, I'll go to a conference in Aberystwyth. I go there each year, as does Gerald, and it's a great conference. And each year, a big fellow will come up to me, and he'll say to me, he said to me last year, it's 18 years now. 18 years now. When I see him again this year, God willing, he'll probably say to me, you know, it's now 19 years ago. And as he'll say that, this big fellow, tears will come into his eyes. What's he talking about? Well, 19 years ago, he was miles away from the Christian faith. Miles away. He was the dreadful man, doing dreadful things. But the worst thing about this, he was a compulsive gambler. He was gambling and losing and winning, sometimes losing, other times, thousands of pounds in a night. He'd go to America, one of these big casinos, and he'd lose thousands of dollars. And it was breaking up his marriage. Unbeknown to him, his wife came to see me and said, our marriage is on the rocks. Unbeknown to her, he came to see me and said, what on earth can I do? I'm in a dreadful state. Swearing like a trooper, unfaithful to his wife, compulsive gambler, sins like scarlet. But he came one Sunday to church. He and his wife were so desperate. They came to, never been to church before in their life. Never been to church before in their life. They came to church and heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. And his life was totally changed. He was forgiven. All that vile sin was washed away. His life was totally changed. He now spends all of his time helping compulsive gamblers to get free from their gambling. So he'll come, he did it last year, he came to see me last year at the conference and said, it's 18 years ago now. And he's filled with wonder, you see, that all his sin has been washed away. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. You may ask another question. Is it too late for me, you say? An old lady once asked me that question. She lived a dreadful life, involved in spiritism and the occult and so forth. At the age of 85, she said to me, "It's too late, too late. Too late for me. I've left it too long." But it's not, you know. No matter how old we are, there's hope for everyone. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white like snow. So let's have this great discussion with God. Come now, let's reason together. Let's talk together. And God announces the subject. We'll talk together about your sin. And I protest, I'm not a sinner. God says, yes, you are. All of sin. I protest, Lord, it's not sin. God says, oh yes, it's awful. It'll keep you out of heaven. It'll drag you down to hell. God, I can deal with it. No, you can't, says God. You can't. Only one person can deal with your sin. That's my son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But God, I fear I may have done too awful a thing. I may have committed such terrible sins. There's no hope for me. Oh yes, says God, there is. Though your sins are as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. What a wonderful discussion to have with Almighty God. I trust that you'll have that discussion. If you've not done so already, and that you'll have this wonderful assurance of knowing that all your sin has been forgiven. Now let's sing our final hymn.